The podcast was dope. I'm just gonna let y'all know that right now. I was really feeling that, man. That was some good.
So we're gonna just dive in like she fresh off a cycle.
Splash. You have a serious problem. Facts.
Well, the fact, you know how we do, talking hoops, talking scoring, talking defense, talking everything that involves the game of hoops that we do. That's what I mean. It's basketball for the people, battle people, baby. We 94 feet of light.
We have to do is we have to kind of, you know, break some of these myths that we have out here. One of the myths are... the people versus players who think they can have it all. And fans who think that players can do everything without nothing. Yo, check. Sometimes I think fans act like women in this sense. They want everything and expect everything without giving up anything. You can't do that, G. Mm-hmm. I mean, men do it too, but you know, those ain't my concern because I'm not homosexual. So I don't got to deal with them. Just being honest. You know, that's why I don't talk about them. They're not my concern.
I mean, damn.
You want your guy or your favorite player you think should average 35 points a game, 10 assists, and win multiple championships, and that's really not feasible. We're going to prove it to you. We're going to take everybody's people's goat. We're going to take your king, and we're going to carve him up real quick in a good way.
Don't worry, I'll wait.
And see, this is the fun part of the matter for me, is that even with the sacrifices, they still great. Even in volume scoring, they still right. Great. Especially when we look at Mike. You know, I take it back, and what I like to point out with Mike all the time is the 86-87 season, where he put up like 37 a night on 12 threes. So that means he was doing a lot of mid-range, a lot of dunks. And he also had, I think, the 8th most single-season free-throw attempts in the entire season, in that particular season. It was almost 1,000 attempts from the line. So he got his money, but the Bulls didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. In fact, in that 87 season, they were swept again by the Boston Celtics, just like they were in 86 when he went for 63 in the Boston Bucks.
So
when you factor all of that in, it's like, okay, you had a high volume numbers. It's very impressive. But my question is, and this is for all of them, how far did it take them to get into toward the Larry up? Did he get them to the conference finals? Did he get them to the second round? Did he get them to the finals? I mean, which way do we go? Or was just like our guy Big Chiron, like I say all the time, a looting and a riot situation?
Uh-huh. Keep trying if you want to. I mean, that's the whole point of playing the game of basketball is winning, especially at a higher level. Is winning upon the team concept. You need all five players to play a role or to do their thing to achieve a common goal. I mean, that's the whole definition of a team. Each individual doing achieving a common thing. And, I mean, of course, you may have a couple of teams that need that one person to do a lot, but real teams, again, they sacrifice for the greater good.
That part is basketball. I'm going to say this, and I want everybody to really hear me when I say it. This game was not designed for one player to do everything. Y'all need to look at tennis or golf a little bit more then. Right. Then I'm going to say this too. Great players can do it all. Great teammates won't let them.
There it is. The great teams will not let the great teammates, teams, coaches, structures, organizations, they will not allow that to happen because it's a greater goal. And the greater goal in the league is to get to the very end.
And, you know, like I said, I'm going to break down all of y'all. I'm going to break down all of y'all goats, all of y'all kings or what have you. I'm going to break all of y'all down. So first we talked about Jordan. Once that Pippen, you know, developed, Pippen was the primary defender. Pippen was the one being able to pressure the ball and disrupt that offense. Pippen was the one who did all the other small things like rebound, assist, like I said, guard all four positions, hit the timely bucket. And then you had shooters around that. Then you had power forwards around that who could defend the other bigs so that the other bigs won't have the crazy game, which allowed Jordan to be great.
Oh, we got time today. Plenty of time. And like you, I mean, you just put it just perfectly together, because it's just the whole team. I mean, we keep hammering it, and again, it all reverts back to style versus substance. People want to see things a certain way to make it seem like it's some type of hero ball, but in the long run, hero ball don't win you championships. It just don't. It would never do it.
Facts.
I mean, the closest we have seen it was in the 90s with Michael. But Akeem sprinkled that a little bit within the 94, 95 years of those championships. But after that, everything became a team concept, a real team concept, man. Ball player movement. And all the teams are doing their part to win championships. I mean, again, hero ball ain't gonna cut it no more. It ain't gonna cut it no more. So I mean, I don't know how to put it, but hero ball ain't gonna make it no more.
and to be real, you know, even what we call hero ball, was it really hero ball if you just think about it in retrospect? Because even with Jordan, and you know, we said this earlier on the show, even with Jordan, you know, doing all the things that he did to make it seem like he was the hero of the team, when he was really carrying the league, he got put out in semifinals.
Sure did.
When he was really doing everything for his team, he was getting put out the first round by Boston. Mm-hmm. And it took Pippen, not Jordan, to grow up for them to actually get over that Detroit hump. Because remember, after a while, that Jordan rule stuff didn't work no more. Jordan figured that out. So what they did was they just put all their energy and said, okay, Pippen ain't going to kill us. Because I don't care what you say, one person is not going to beat us.
All right.
So even with Jordan maximizing, doing all that he can, playing his heart out, and was ready for that moment, he still needed his team to be ready for that moment. And, you know, I just said Pippen because Pippen was the one that got highlighted the most. But even that following year, it wasn't just Pippen. Paxson wasn't missing any open shots. Horace Grant, 20-footer, was money.
Man, what?
Cartwright always been a force down low defensively. He will elbow the hell out of you. He always was that.
Know.
He was always that, though. He was never the problem. He was always tough.
And their bench started to become with B.J. Armstrong, Cliff Livingston.
Craig Hodges. Shouts out to Craig Hodges.
Craig Hodges, exactly. And then you got Scott Williams. Man, them folks was not, I mean, they became nine deep. Even Will Perdue produced. Stacey King. I mean, you name them, man. They actually became a team. But again, that style type of deal, when they seen Jordan trying to Hulkamania a lot of shit, it did not happen.
Okay. So, we're going to keep moving up. Hakeem Olajuwon, as great as Hakeem was, and to me, I think Hakeem was probably the closest person that I've witnessed ever to do it damn near by himself. But even then, let's look at Hakeem. Let's carve up Hakeem for a second. Hakeem wasn't bringing the ball up the floor. Hakeem wasn't hitting the open threes when he got doubled. Hakeem wasn't defending the wing players when they saw him.
Right.
Everybody
you got to have your pitch.
Everybody needs that help. They need some type of help. Now, what I need for y'all to understand too is, like, depending on where you're at on the floor, the position that you're playing at is going to depend on how much help you need, because the closer you are to the basket or more dominant you are around the basket, the less help you need. But you still need help.
Mm-hmm.
Need still
so
need
even
help.
When you play, I'm glad that you mentioned the king, because it reminded me a lot of what you see from the statistics and the footage and everything that came from Wilt in the late 50s and through the 60s. You know, and then when they finally put it together, they got Hal Greer around them, they got everything that they needed around them, they were able to get by Boston and go win a title in that way. There's no more statistically dominant player in the history of this game than Wilt Chamberlain. This dude right. has more records, individual records, single season, career, whatever it is. He has more records than anybody in the NBA. Historic. It's not even close. It's like over 70. You know, he would be 7-2 guy leading the league in assists. They weren't counting blocks and shots back then, but.
What some will argue the golden era of basketball. Some will argue that, some won't. That's neither here nor there. Give us a few memorable stories during your stint in the NBA that we can share with people.
Well, I shut Michael Jordan down.
Hey!
I held him to 45 points. That was a memorable experience I had in the NBA. My rookie year, we played the Chicago Bulls when they were at their height of basketball with Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen. And, you know, I was coming off the bench, and our three-man, Mario Elliott, had mysteriously got injured within, like, minutes of the game. And to this day, I'm still looking for where he got injured, but he was the guy who was on the and it was on NBC, Isaiah Thomas and all the guys were on the game. It was prime time in Chicago Stadium, and Mario just mysteriously got injured within, like, minutes of the game. So I hear Rose. I'm looking like Rose, like, who's calling? Like, who is he calling for? He's like, come on, get that. I'm like, oh, man. So here I am, you know, at 24 years old, and I've been grew up buying Jordans and watching Jordan, and I got in the game, and it was a great experience. I'm not going to lie, but he is definitely the GOAT. And, you know, I know people would argue with Braun, and some say Kobe, and everybody got their favorites, but he truly was one of the best players I ever played against in my life. And he did not have a weakness as a basketball player. He was strong as an ox. He was sharp. He could shoot. Obviously, we know about his athletic ability. He was really, like, you know, you go into a game and you guys are scoring players, notice, you know, you look for weaknesses in players. Like, maybe I'll back off and make him a shooter, or I'll pressure him because he can't dribble. This guy literally had no weaknesses.
Never mistake activity for productivity.
What's going on, everybody? This is Greg Jones, coming in, repping for 94 Feet of Life, giving, you know, the voiceless a voice. You know, definitely want to go ahead and shout out a couple of things that I have going on coming up this high school season. Hoops for Pink, December 26th to the 29th. Mac Jokes Invitational, January 1st to the 3rd. And the MLK Classic, January 21st. All three events located in Northwest Indiana.
Dwayne Wade, when he went from D-Wade to Flash.
Another one.
And everybody's just going crazy about how many points he's averaging, how he's the next Jordan. But what people failed to realize was, even though Shaq wasn't Laker Shaq, he still was a guy that you couldn't just leave in the paint by himself.
Right.
He was going to make you pay that price. So Dwayne Wade was able to drive to the hole whenever he wanted without getting any help side.
Mm-hmm.
So just small things like that is what people don't put together. Or even when Kobe won without Shaq, look what was behind him. He had a front court that averaged 6'10" behind him.
Yes, sir. Bynum and Paul Gasol.
And they put Odom at the small forward at times. So I mean, think about that. So Kobe's completely protected on the defensive end because now he gets to take away the mid-range jumper and take away your first two or three go-to moves, because by the time you counter, you got one or two 6'11", 7-foot cats waiting for your shot to beat it up.
Right.
So even if you look at it from a defensive level, it's like, and this is not discrediting anybody who is really good individually at a task or an attribute. It's just highlighting the fact that it means nothing if it cannot be used in a team concept. And I think that's the main thing that we forget about.